I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and former host here at PW Torch Livecast. If you're looking for my shows, they have moved as of July 2017. They're now called the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available through Podcast One. Enter Wade Keller on your podcast app or iTunes and subscribe to the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, where I cover Raw and my first show of the week, SmackDown with my second show of the week, and then the Flagship Edition with a co-host, and we cover a broad array of pro wrestling current events, and then I end the week with a weekly interview. That's the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, now at Podcast One. Subscribe today. Just search Wade Keller. Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. This is Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch Weekly newsletter since 1987, and editor of PWTorch.com, and host of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast. Just search Wade Keller wherever you listen to podcasts to subscribe to my four times per week free Pro Wrestling Podcast. But this is the PW Torch Livecast Best of Edition for Friday, November 10th, 2017, and today we go back 5 years to Survivor Series 2012. What was going on back then? A lot of different things than is going on now. Wrestlers such as Jinder Mahal. Oh, he was in the opening match against Team Cobro, Santino Marella and Zack Ryder. Who did he team with? Yeah, three-man band member Heath Slater. My, how things have changed. Also, which wrestler is still active in the ring with WWE on the 10-man tag team match on the babyface side? Not Brodus Clay, not Justin Gabriel, not Rey Mysterio, and not Tyson Kidd, although he's working behind the scenes now. Sin Cara, but it was a different Sin Cara. So the answer is nobody. And on the heel side, it was the Primetime Players, Primo and Epico, and Tenzai. Were they heels then? I guess, that team. Also, Eve Torres against Caitlyn. Women's Revolution hadn't happened yet. Antonio Cesaro defeated R-Truth. Sheamus defeated Big Show, so Sheamus on this year's show. Team Ziggler, yes, there was a Team Ziggler, featured Alberto Del Rio, he's gone. Damian Sandow, he's gone. David Otunga, he's on color. Dolph Ziggler, he's active. Wade Barrett, he's gone with Ricardo Rodriguez in their corner. Against Team Foley, he's gone. With Daniel Bryan, Kane, Kofi Kingston, The Miz, and Randy Orton. Hey, we got some active wrestlers who are still on the roster and still active on that team. And then we have a main event, a three-way. Only one of the three wrestlers in the main event 5 years ago active on this year's show. CM Punk, John Cena, and Ryback. So today's Best of PW Torch Livecast takes us back to the initial reaction the night of that show, hosted by James Caldwell and Greg Parks, discussing the 2012 Survivor Series back on November 18th, 2012, with live callers, including an in-person perspective. So that's what's coming up right after I mention this. If you are not a PW Torch VIP member, you can get VIP information at pwtorch.com/govip. Why would you want to do that? We're going to charge you money to be a VIP member. That hardly seems fair until you know what you get in exchange. And then it seems like a pretty fair deal. You get ad-free access to all the PW Torch livecasts. We take out the plugs. We take out the ads. And you also get access to 30 years of archives instantly when you sign up. You get all about over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, all of them that we put online, instantly available to you, dating back to the late 1980s. All of our podcasts dating back to 2004, plus retro radio shows from the early 1990s, and the Attitude Era. Plus a new Pro Wrestling Torch Weekly newsletter in a digital format, PDF and all text, every week. Ad-free access to our website, pwtorch.com, becomes pwtorchvip.com when you go VIP, and it's an ad-free version of our website. It is mobile-friendly and desktop-friendly. And you also get 12 podcasts per week from me that are VIP exclusive, including the every single day Wade Keller Hotline, covering the news of the day, answering email questions, and reviewing Raw and SmackDown in a way that helps catch you up on what you missed if you didn't see the show, and also give you an idea of what I thought of the show segment by segment if you want my perspective on the show after you watch it. Also, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show and The Fix with Todd Martin. I co-host both of those shows for usually over 2 hours per week. And you also get other new podcasts throughout the week, the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, and so much more. So, a lot comes with the VIP membership. You can get a rundown of the list of benefits at pwtorch.com/govip. The price is as little as $8.25 per month. If you like the Torch brand of pro wrestling coverage, unlock everything that you're missing out on every week. We'd love to have you as a member. Give us a try and see what you think. I think you'll love it. It is an unmatched library of insider information, hard-hitting, independent coverage of professional wrestling in written format and podcast format with an unmatched quantity and unmatched quality, I would argue, all for $8.25 a month on average if you opt for the one-year option. So go check it out, pwtorch.com/govip. Here we go with the best of PW Torch livecast. By the way, quick note, the new interview that I conducted this week that you can hear if you search Wade Keller on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts is with Dave Lagana, an ex-WWE creative team member for 5 years, an ex-TNA creative team member for 5 years. He also worked in ECW and Ring of Honor, and he is now the vice president of the NWA, a revamped NWA now owned by Billy Corgan of the Smashing Pumpkins. And I talked with him for 2 hours about the plans for the NWA, where he thinks they fit into the marketplace, what they will deliver that pro wrestling fans don't have access to right now, and also thoughts on the state of the industry, what has changed, what surprises him about what has changed about WWE creatively and on the business side since he left the company years ago. His thoughts on Vince McMahon, Roman Reigns, and more. Fascinating interview. Go search Wade Keller wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts or on popular apps on Android and iPhone. And the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast should pop up, and we'd love to have you as a regular listener of that show also. Don't forget, tomorrow it's the Deep Dive with Rich Fan, and then Sunday it is Wrestling Night in America with Pat McNeil and Greg Parks. And then Monday, the MMA Torch crew is back, MMA Talk for Pro Wrestling fans. And Wednesday, it is Wrestling Road Stories with Jim Valley. And then we loop all the way back to Thursday with the Post-Impact Show with Mike McMahon and Andrew Socek. That's our lineup here at the livecast. We thank you for listening. And on that note, we now move to the 2012 post-show WWE Survivor Series.
You are listening to a special edition of the PW Torch livecast following tonight's Survivor Series pay-per-view presented by WWE. And this is Torch Assistant Editor James Caldwell hosting this special edition of the livecast. I'm joined by Torch columnist Greg Parks. Greg, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks, James.
Good to have you on the show. We're going to have you for, about half an hour before we let you go and get some rest here on a crazy Sunday in the world of football and wrestling, but mainly wrestling, which we'll talk about with Survivor Series. Greg, I can't really come up with a 0-10 score yet on the show. I'm still processing how to evaluate the show top to bottom, weighing certain things, and kind of trying not to just say, okay, well, I got to see the follow through to evaluate the show. But I mean, you kind of have to see the follow through after we'll just kind of break down the top angle, which was NXT guys, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, and Roman Reigns costing Ryback the WWE title this month. CM Punk retains, advances to 1 full year as WWE champion. Well, tomorrow he will. So that's a big story of the show, Greg. And I mean, we don't have much to go by on this right now. So it's kind of one of those things where you want to see the follow through before making a judgment. But what was your reaction to the overall show tonight, Greg, as well as the big angle at the end with the NXT guys debuting and Punk retaining the title?
I had this as a thumbs in the middle show, a 5 or a 5.5. There were a couple matches in the 3-star range, but nothing that, would get you too excited, and no match that I would say you really have to go out of your way to see again. Like you said, with the show closing angle with Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, and Dean Ambrose, that's definitely a situation, and I was thinking about this after the show went off the air, is, if they WWE really capitalizes on these guys, if they are aligned with Punk and Paul Heyman, if they are forming some group with Punk where they're getting the main event treatment, and you know their star rises over the next few months, I think that it does make this pay-per-view better, because that's it kicks off that sort of new, fresh blood in the main event. But if this is a situation that's similar to Brad Maddox, where Punk says, gee, you know, I have no relationship with these guys, I don't know what they were doing, they were doing this on their own, it just happened to benefit me, and the follow-up is not strong, then I think that's where you get into a situation where it kind of, in hindsight, brings the pay-per-view grade down, because they're just, they didn't capitalize on it, and it wasn't as important as it seemed when it happened on the pay-per-view.
Right, and also made me think that the Brad Maddox story, he was demolished by Ryback on Raw, given the ambulance ride, but it makes me think, Greg, that segment with Paul Heyman and Maddox, before that squash match, you know, there was that moment where Heyman pulled him aside, and Monday it felt like, okay, that was just something to throw us off, but now with the NXT guys debuting, it makes me think they're going to incorporate Maddox into this. I mean, this is a guy, and that was part of the story when they explained his rogue referee-ness at Hell in a Cell was that he was in NXT, he was going nowhere, and they decided to make a name for himself. So I assume the same thing applies to Seth, Ambrose, and Roman Reigns. So I'm wondering if all this is going to link together, and Maddox is going to come back to TV and be involved.
So my question, James, is if you're going to intermingle with Brad Maddox with these guys, would you have them be squashed by Ryback like they did?
I don't know. I mean, I would say no, but Ryback has to get his revenge, because the other thing that's going on here is they have to keep finding ways to not have Ryback win the WWE title, which I kind of joked about in my report. You know, next thing is he's going to get bitten by a shark, or a rogue helicopter pilot will take him out of the building. To keep topping themselves and these outs they've created. So they have to keep Ryback strong by having him not win the title in a way that seems like a nice out, but then to demolish the person who cost him the title on Raw, you know, in a week or 2 weeks afterward. But you can't do that with Seth and Dean and Roman Reigns if you're high on these guys. So it's like, what do you do with them? How do you have Ryback strong yet not have a situation where these three guys are just, especially a guy like Seth Rollins, who, I mean, just a future star in the making, you can't have him just get squashed like a Spirit Squad situation.
Right, and I think the worst-case scenario is if this group is attached with Punk and Heyman, you have this turn into a situation like Ricardo Rodriguez with Alberto Del Rio, like Alex Riley, with The Miz, where these would be surrogates for CM Punk. And, you know, the show always ends with one of these guys getting destroyed in the ring against CM Punk's opponent of the month while Punk looks on from the ramp or something like that. I think that's the worst-case scenario, and hopefully WWE has enough foresight not to do that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Greg. And it's, I mean, you also look ahead. I don't want to look too much ahead to the TLC because I want to kind of focus on Survivor Series, but to kind of look at where they are with this, during the show, Greg, they were talking about pretty much the winner of the title match advancing to the Royal Rumble to face The Rock. So it makes you think that there will not be a title match at TLC next month, which, you know, originally Survivor Series was not going to have a title match. Originally, CM Punk was in the Mick Foley Survivor Series match. So it makes you wonder if TLC will be like Ryback against these four guys in a one-on-four handicap, you know, the three NXT guys plus Maddox. And a handicap match, I mean, and that's what I fear, because that's not the way to go if you're going to do something with Rollins, Ambrose, and Roman Reigns. So I'm kind of wondering if they go that direction, have CM Punk not defend the title at TLC, and then what do you do with him there? You know, there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of questions coming out of this show, Greg. And yeah, I think a lot of the feedback that we're – go ahead, Greg.
The nice thing about not having Punk defend the title at TLC is you have more time to build up CM Punk versus The Rock.
Right.
If you have Punk defend the title at TLC, you can't really begin that build up without giving away that Punk's going to retain. And then if Punk does finally retain, then you've only got 1 month for a build-up. I mean, this Punk versus The Rock is going to be a huge deal and should be treated as such. And so I think it's a match deserving of a lengthier build than other matches, and that's one reason why I'm okay, and I'm not usually okay with the major title not being defended on a pay-per-view, but I would be okay in that scenario with the WWE title not being defended at TLC.
Yeah, I'm with you. And you know, obviously, McMahon could change his mind, as they did with Survivor Series, but it seems like right now it's Punk is not going to defend the title at TLC, like you said, and they'll sort of, I guess, come up with another main event, and it might be Cena Ryback. And, you know, obviously you have to put something on you know, if it's not the Ryback versus the four guys in a handicap match, you've got to put something on the line for Cena and Ryback if that's a match that you're willing to give away. I mean, because that's – I mean, I know they physically touched tonight at Survivor Series. They're in the three-way match. But, I mean, that's a big-money match down the road. But if they want to avoid Punk defending the title, Greg, I mean, do you go to Cena versus Ryback now – at TLC, and I don't know, no more contender status at WrestleMania. I don't know if you go do that, but what do you do? Do you do that match right now at the next month's pay-per-view?
I mean, you could. If the WWE title is not on the line, and Punk is going to be wrestling in some form, so it's not like the champion is not going to be on the card, but if the WWE title isn't on the line, you do need something as a special attraction, and I think Cena and Ryback would get that attention, even though, as we saw tonight by the reaction of the crowd, Ryback was certainly not over to the point where I think WWE was hoping by now. You know, they react to the Pavlovian Feed Me More chant, but they're not really cheering for Ryback. So you could do something like, Cena versus Ryback. The winner of the match enters their Royal Rumble at number 30, and the loser enters at number 1 for the next month's Royal Rumble. So something like
point.
That with something at stake, I think, would be wise, and there's a lot of different ways they could do that. There's a lot of different things I think they could put at stake.
That's a great one. I like the 1-30. That way you protect Ryback. Assuming Ryback wins that, I think he'd have to if you do that match at TLC. Ryback can't lose three big main event matches on pay-per-view in a row. I really like that one, Greg. You put Ryback at number 30 and Cena at number 1, makes Cena go on this journey. Assuming that Cena wins the Rumble, and this—I mean—that's a whole other discussion—is how do you get from the Rumble to WrestleMania? But that would be, I think, a really intriguing way to do it.
And I think that's the problem where a lot of people are saying, "Okay, Rock beats Punk at Royal Rumble. Cena wins the Rumble. Cena faces Rock at WrestleMania." If you plot that out, then Cena would have to survive from number 1 to 30 in the Royal Rumble, which is not completely unheard of. But I know WWE's wanted to kind of limit that.
Yeah, I'm sure they'd be tempted to do that and give Cena a really big boost going into WrestleMania by having that feather in his cap, if you will, of going the distance like a Rey Mysterio or a Chris Benoit, which, you know, 5, 6, 7, 7 or 8 years ago when those two guys did it back-to-back years. So maybe not back-to-back, 2 out of 3, something like that.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan, but you might like MMA too. And if so, check out our sister site, MMATorch.com, with live fight event coverage, including UFC pay-per-views, previews of all UFC and Bellator events, the daily news digest, exclusive columns, flashbacks, and much more. Check it out. If you're a fan of MMA, you'll be a fan of MMATorch.com.
Anyways, Greg, you hit on a good point. Ryback, crowd reaction, okay. You know, it was okay, but I don't think it was where they wanted to be. Right before that, interestingly, Orton sets up for the punt, and you really only get the vocal males reacting to that. So I don't know if it's just a crowd thing or just some things just are slow. I mean, I can understand the Orton thing because he hasn't done the punt or even teased it in over a year. I mean, it seems like it's been a long time. But the Ryback thing is interesting to me, like you said, because it wasn't that huge reaction, superstar in the making, he's on his way. You know, it was more of like there's still some work to be done. And that might be why they might go to the Ryback-Cena match next month to continue establishing him as this is a guy to be taken seriously. He's a main event star. you know, pay attention to this guy. He's a big deal in our eyes. So that might be a reason why they go ahead and push forward with that one-on-one match with Cena, is for that reaction. So based on that crowd reaction. Greg, let's go ahead and let's get some phone calls. And we've got a lot of people on hold, so I want to get as many people on the show as possible. And hear what everybody has to say about Survivor Series tonight. And, of course, you'll listen to the live cast, a special edition here on Sunday night, November 18th. And this is Torch assistant editor James Caldwell, joined by Torch columnist Greg Parks. We usually host on Thursdays here on the live cast. We're on regularly Mondays, an hour before Raw, 7 o'clock Eastern. And then Tuesday through Friday, 5:30 Eastern to 6:30 Eastern, a one-hour show. Every day here, every weekday here, the live cast on blogtalkradio.com. And Greg, let's go to our first phone call, 832 area code. Welcome to the show, 832. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Good evening, guys. This is James from Houston. How y'all doing tonight?
Oh, we're doing good, James. How are you doing?
I almost had a heart attack when the Texans almost lost to the Jaguars this afternoon, but I survived.
Well, let me pause on that real quick. Is Greg is a huge Jacksonville Jaguars fan, and
yeah, some of us were not so lucky this afternoon.
I didn't talk too much about it. We got a lot of Survivor Series talk here, but Greg, that was a crazy game. That was just a nuts crazy game.
Let's move on.
Yeah. All right, James. Back to you. What else is on your mind tonight?
Yeah, I have a few points that I wanted to get to. I have a question about the Big Show and Sheamus situation. It seems like after that blow off is done, like there may be nothing for Big Show to do. At least that's what I was thinking. So I was wondering if the possibility of like a chairs match is going to be set up with Sheamus and the Big Show for TLC, and maybe have Sheamus win, and then, you know, Ziggler cashes in the Money in the Bank briefcase. Mm. He wins the World Heavyweight title, and then that sets up a triple threat between Sheamus and Big Show, since, you know, they would both have their rematch clauses intact. And my second question is a little bit more long-winded. I don't know. I'm getting kind of – I wonder what does it have to take for WWE to call up these really talented guys on NXT, because besides the Reigns, Ambroses, and the Rollins of the world, you know, you got your Big E Langstons, you know, you have your Xavier Woods and other things. Can't they just put these guys on TV and just let them have a slow build, and especially like on SmackDown, where, you know, JBL is a good storyteller and as opposed to just, you know, having to figure out, well, if there's no storyline, you know, we're not going to have them on, you know, main TV. We're just going to have to find a storyline for them, or they're just going to stay on NXT. And that's all I got for tonight.
Yeah, two great topics, James. I'm glad you brought up the SmackDown. We'll get to the SmackDown scenario in a second. NXT, Greg, I think what's going on here is that I think that if Linda McMahon did not have an election, WWE probably would have cut, probably 5 or 10 more people from the main roster this year, and that would open up a lot more slots for the NXT guys. So I think now the election's over, Greg, I think we're going to start seeing some more NXT people called up. And we might see some, you know, some releases along with that. But the WWE roster has been very set for several months. There have been very few cuts this year. It's mainly just been divas quitting. So I think that's sort of been a factor, is that they just don't have any slots for these guys. And, you know, we might see some cuts coming up here. So that might get some more NXT guys up on the main roster. Greg, your reaction to that aspect of James's call?
Yeah, I don't know that the election had anything to do with WWE perhaps holding off on cuts. There aren't a lot of guys, even bottom of the roster guys, who I could see getting cut. I think they all have a certain value, and even the Yoshitatsus or whatever, guys who are really at the bottom and don't even appear on TV very often, they do have certain traits that make them worthwhile as far as keeping them around. For the NXT guys, I take the opposite stance that James does, that I'm glad they don't bring them up until they have a story ready for them.
Sure.
You could throw them on TV and do a slow burn, but then you risk getting them lost in the shuffle. They just become another wrestler, and by the time you have an idea for them, you know, you have to kind of build them back up in the fans' eyes, because if you're constantly having them win meaningless matches, then the fans aren't going to see you as important. So I like that WWE is waiting to bring these guys up when they have a storyline ready for them. And yes, Seth Rollins was in developmental a long time. Same with Dean Ambrose. We thought Ambrose had an angle or a storyline with Mick Foley around WrestleMania time, but that apparently didn't pan out. And, you know, there are a lot of times when you watch three-hour Raws and you watch these matches get stretched out to 10 minutes, this should go five and other things like that, and you wonder, you know, this Raw could really use some fresh faces. It could really use something to ignite it a little bit, and you wonder where these guys are. But I would much rather have WWE call them up when they have something for them than have them just call up and kind of languish on the main roster.
Yeah, I know that's a good point. No, that is a good point. World title situation, Greg. I mean, it certainly looks like Big Show Sheamus rematch, chairs match at TLC. You know, that takes care of one of the four options, TLC or TLC. I could very well see Sheamus winning the match and Ziggler cashing in. Maybe it's like James said, a three-way match at the Rumble, perhaps. That way, you kind of, and then that's a whole scenario there of who would win that. But it might be a way to get the title away from Big Show, and then allow Big Show to set up a bigger match, not involving the world title, at WrestleMania, perhaps with the Ryback. That's been rumored. And so this way, the title's not in the line. You get a Ryback win, but not win the world title. I mean, that's a whole other scenario. But Greg, what do you think about that scenario? Maybe Ziggler cashes in at TLC next month. What do you think?
Well, remember, it was a year ago at TLC that Daniel Bryan cashed in and won Money in the Bank at TLC, so that would be an interesting parallel. It does appear that after tonight's match that Sheamus and Big Show are going headed toward a chairs match at TLC, which, you know, given the build-up, makes sense. And I think this has been one of the more underrated build-ups with Sheamus and Big Show over the last several months, involving William Regal. I kind of like that aspect of it on SmackDown. And their two pay-per-view matches have been pretty good for two guys like that. They would think, okay, maybe they max out at 2.5 stars. They've been able to tell a really good story, and they do have good chemistry with each other in the ring. I don't even have a problem with the finish tonight. I think if Sheamus wasn't going to go over cleanly, I think that's the kind of finish you do, because Big Show is not going to beat Sheamus cleanly again, or, you know, as he did last month. So I think that's the finish that makes sense in the context of Sheamus not winning, but also probably doing a rematch next month.
Yeah, it was just one of those matches where, even though they did a non-clean finish, it just kind of came together really well. I was surprised by how well that finish came together. It was like you said, Greg, and you also wrote in your report, and I'll slip in a plug here for on the VIP website, we have your Survivor Series pay-per-view hangout report just posted online that you blogged about after the show, before the live cast. So I think you and I both gave this match the same 3.25. I either gave it a 3 or 3.25, but we're about the same range on the match. I just really like the chemistry of these two guys, so I would not mind, as much as I'm not really a fan of a quote-unquote chairs match. I think you kind of have to limit the involvement of chairs in a wrestling match. This sets up very well for a third match in the series, so I really like what they're doing. I think this is a really good feud, and as you said, very underrated, undervalued. I think because it's on SmackDown, and SmackDown's sort of languished and needs a spark, and maybe this is a feud that finally gets them moving. So we'll see what they do going into December, but I like this feud, and I'm looking forward to seeing what looks like the third match in the series next month. Let's go ahead and go to our next phone call. James, thank you for calling in. And go to the 601 area code. 601, please state your name and where you're calling from.
With 601, there's only one person that could be calling, the famous one, Sergeant Robinson.
I like the intro, Sarge. What's on your mind tonight?
You know me. I'm not going to even try to give a rating to that pay-per-view. It was predictable. But at least I like the ending. At least I'll get the ending 5 stars. Pay-per-view, I'm not going to even go there. At least we finally got what the IWC been wanting for longest, something different. Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. So now we just have to wait and see how the WWE spins the story with those guys.
Right.
And also, I also want to add something else. What the last caller was saying about bringing other guys up. What's the deal with Richard Steamboat not being called up? He's been in development, over 2, 3, 4 plus years now?
Seems like it, yeah. It could be just, like, you know, just they don't have a slot for him, Greg, like you were talking about. You know, I think Richie's a guy they want to protect. I mean, the way I look at it is, like, right now, well, let's say Richie was a top, just a baseball analogy, Richie's a top shortstop prospect, and he's in the minor league system for a team that has, like, three shortstops. You know, unless you're going to have him change positions, you probably don't want to call him up and waste him and have him just sit on the bench when he can be getting reps down in the AAA system. So I think right now they just have a lot of baby faces who all look alike, Greg. Tyson Kidd, Justin Gabriel, you have a lot of high flyers, Rey Mysterio, Sin Cara. Not to say that Richie is quote-unquote a high flyer. I think he's more diverse than that. But he kind of looks like the typical cruiserweight, high flyer, you know, nice baby face. So they have a lot of those guys right now. So I just don't see a slot for him right now. And that might be why he's still stuck down developmental, Sarge, because I'm with you. I think he should be on TV by now. Real quick, Sarge, what was sort of the biggest drawback for you from the show before the five-star end of the pay-per-view?
Well, like I said before, with it being so, I'll put it like this to you. It was so predictable that, you know, with me thinking what was going to happen with the big Foley Ziggler thing, how they kept saying, well, it's going to be a double turn, a swerve or something. I actually got up, left, took my daughter, went to McDonald's, and came back and seen a triple threat match was going on. That's how I feel about the pay-per-view.
What did you get at McDonald's, Sarge?
Got my little daughter a Happy Meal and got my wife some apple pies and I came on back. You know, I'm going to still support wrestling compared to what everybody says about how I give my opinions about wrestling. I grew up on the cards of my grandfather, but I'm not going to start watching it. I'm going to keep saying how I feel about the sport. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not going to leave the sport. I'm gonna give it hell, but I'm not going to leave the sport. But, you know, I'm never going anywhere. So that's all I have tonight.
All right. Good call, Sarge. Yeah, yeah. I mean, and it's an opinion that I'm seeing a lot of. It's just the frustration with kind of the direction of the product right now, Greg. I mean, you gave it a five. Bruce Mitchell put in his PW Torch senior columnist, Bruce Mitchell, and his Survivor Series score was a four. We put up the poll just a little while ago, so I'll look at the results a little later on in the live cast. But, and Greg, I'm sensing a lot of. And I understand him. I mean, just some of this was just kind of disappointing. There was a lull in the middle of the show. I mean, they had an AJ and Vicky Guerrero angle with some bad photoshopping and another lot of videos. And there was just the middle of the show where it just, like, dragged. The Survivor Series matches, there was nothing on the line. You know, Dolph Ziggler winning was kind of like, oh, yeah, he won. You know, there was nothing really at stake there. Greg, how do you look at this overall show and evaluate everything that came into this and where WWE is as a product right now, where does this show fit into where they are as a product?
I think they were taken separately. There were certain things to like about the pay-per-view, but taken as a whole, it just didn't feel like a pay-per-view-worthy pay-per-view, as strange as that sounds.
Yeah.
It did have the Survivor Series elimination matches. I liked they added a bonus match that was to make it two on the card, although you're kind of defining down the elimination match, which is supposed to be special to Survivor Series, by putting it unadvertised. You wouldn't put a Hell in a Cell unadvertised match at Hell in a Cell or a TLC match, Ladders Chairs match at TLC unadvertised. And I think it's kind of defining down that kind of match that makes Survivor Series special by doing that. But it was one of the best matches on the show, so who am I to argue? Like I said, certain things alike, but there was a lot of the Cesaro Archer match was disappointing. That kind of put a halt to the show. The AJ Vicky stuff was completely unnecessary, and it's probably the first non-wrestling in-ring segment on a pay-per-view to set up a Divas feud, I suppose. I don't know. You know, it just boggles my mind that the AJ John Cena Vicky Guerrero storyline has been so bad and has been roundly criticized by almost everyone. I haven't heard of anyone who's actually liked that storyline, and yet it gets a spot on pay-per-view. I just don't understand why they couldn't wait till tomorrow to do that. There was stuff on the pay-per-view. The matches, you know, the matches that were three-star were kind of barely three-star. It wasn't a ringing endorsement of those matches. So, you know, it's almost a little deceiving to say that this show had three-star matches on it or two 3-star matches because they were barely 3 stars. So there just wasn't a lot to write home about on this one.
Yeah, I think you put it exactly right. It was a pay-per-view that didn't feel pay-per-view worthy, even though it had some pay-per-view quality matches. It didn't add up. And Greg, how much of that do you think it is that there is so much on TV now? Is this even a factor? There's so much on TV now that we're kind of numb to the amount of wrestling that's available on free television now that even a traditional Survivor Series match really doesn't feel that special unless and then some other matches. I mean, you mentioned the U.S. title match. That one just was disappointing. Is it that there's so much wrestling now that, I mean, it's got to be, I mean, a 3-star match has got to feel like a 4-star match to really stand out and make an elevated pay-per-view to feel pay-per-view worthy.
No, I mean, it's absolutely a factor, especially with Raw going to 3 hours now and you're seeing longer matches that are usually reserved for pay-per-views. So that blurs the line between TV and pay-per-view as well. I mean, you take the main event, for example, John Cena, CM Punk, and Ryback. You just had John Cena and CM Punk go, you know, 10 minutes on Raw for free at the go-home show. So
right.
Their interaction, certainly, not to mention their previous pay-per-view matches, their interaction didn't feel really special by any means. You know, the only one that really did was kind of Ryback and John Cena. That's the proliferation of TV and seeing these guys every week. It's no longer special when you see them on pay-per-view, and it's no longer special when you see them wrestle each other on pay-per-view because they've wrestled so often either for free or on pay-per-view previously.
No, I'm with you. I think those are great points. The Punk-Cena match is a great example. On the go-home show, instead of having a promo or anything like, you know, just a segment, it's a match. You know, a singles match with a clean finish sets up a triple threat pay-per-view main event for the title. It's just, you know, that's kind of where wrestling is in 2012, especially WWE on Raw with these three-hour Raws. So that's right on. Greg, let me at least get one more call while I have you on the air. Let me go to the 740 area code. Welcome to the show, 740. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, it's Chris, and tonight I'm in Indianapolis.
All right. Well, always glad to have a live correspondent of the show. Chris, what was your biggest takeaway or biggest thought, or what's the top item from the pay-per-view tonight?
Well, I'll be honest, since I've been listening to the radio show so far, I mean, I don't know. I guess in person I thought it was better than what I'm hearing from others that watch it on TV, I guess.
Sure.
It usually is. It usually is. That's my experience. It's always better live than on TV.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to a few pay-per-views before this one, and I mean, it's been a few years, though. But, I mean, I thought once you get past the Divas match, United States title, Vicky and AJ, pretty much the second half or whatever point you had was pretty strong, and I felt like, you know, the crowd was decent. Not great, but decent, you know, after that part. Once you got the Big Show Sheamus and moving on from there.
Yeah, after the end of the Big Show Sheamus match on forward to the rest of the show was pretty good. I thought that was kind of what bumped it up to, Greg, you're at a thumbs in the middle. I might be at a 5.5, 6 maybe as we're talking the show out. I thought the end of that world title match on was a really strong close of the show. In terms of the quality of the action, I think the action was really good in the last hour and a half. Chris, something that we brought up real quick to ask you, we brought this up earlier, was the reaction to Ryback, and we felt like it wasn't as strong as we kind of expected. What was your feeling on the reaction to Ryback live in the building?
Yeah, definitely. I heard you were talking about, like you said, like Greg said earlier, you know, there was the Feed Me More stuff, but it was just kind of like there were Cena fans, there were Punk fans, and that was kind of it, you know? As far as Ryback, you know, he gets some cheers from the Punk fans who was beating up Cena. But, yeah, it was kind of exactly what he said. It wasn't really that great of a reaction, I didn't feel.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. I'm wondering if that's just sort of the, you know, as WWE's going to new towns. I mean, Chris, when was the – Indianapolis probably hasn't had a show. And I mean, since before Ryback burst on the scene, it's probably been eight, 9 months. So there might be some of that, you know, it's going to take a while to get Ryback through the system of all these towns and them seeing him before they really, you know, gravitate toward him.
No matter what kind of wrestling fan you are, Ring Rust Radio is the perfect podcast for you. Every Wednesday night, Ring Rust Radio breaks down the hottest news in professional wrestling, including Raw, SmackDown, and WWE pay-per-view reviews. That isn't all, as Ring Rust Radio also delves into NXT, Lucha Underground, Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling, and New Japan to discuss the latest happenings in every major company. Ring Rust Radio conducts interviews with the biggest stars in the wrestling business as well, including Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Roman Reigns, AJ Styles, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, and many more. If you're looking for your wrestling fix with an entertaining twist, check out Ring Rust Radio every week on Blog Talk Radio, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Anything else kind of jump out at you from the show, Chris? Anything else that was notable or noteworthy?
Yeah, a few things I wanted to touch on.
Sure.
First off, the reaction I felt like The Miz got without, I mean, to me anyway, without really having that much of a face turn. I mean, it's obvious it's working that way, but what really happened to make it that way. But, I mean, as soon as his music hit, man, I mean, he got a really good reaction there in the building, I thought. I mean, people were treating him like he was, you know, Randy Orton, like he'd been a face for, you know, a long time, and they just accepted it right away. So I was a little shocked by that. I mean, I'm a Miz fan, but coming from other people, I guess. Dolph Ziggler, I felt like he was really over. Everybody was hoping he was going to cash in tonight, of course. Well, I shouldn't say everyone, but there were definitely some people that were cheering for it. We were hoping when it looked like Sheamus was going to lay him out, but then as soon as Sheamus brought out the chair, it was clear they were going to set up something for TLC with the chairs match. So
right. That
pretty much put it out of the question for me. But he was really over, and I actually felt like the Survivor Series match with him where he went over Randy Orton, because, you know, if you look back, it seems like Orton's always in traditional Survivor Series matches, and he's always the survivor. And it looked like they were going to set that up again, and I felt like putting Ziggler over him, I felt like that could really be something for Dolph if they build off that and talk about that. Just the last thing other than that is, I mean, I'll be honest, I think the most popular shirt I saw in the arena tonight was the new yellow Punk shirts, which kind of surprised me. I really didn't think, I mean, there were definitely the kids there that were for Cena and stuff, but I felt like Punk, I mean, I think there were more pro-Punk people there than pro-Cena tonight, which kind of shocked me. I didn't really expect that.
Yeah, the hard camera, I mean, there were a ton of the yellow Punk shirts all over the place on TV, so that surprised me too. Greg, were you going to jump in?
Just a point on the Survivor Series elimination match, since we haven't really hit on that. I like Dolph Ziggler winning. You know, I was in the same boat. I thought that Randy Orton, when they had Randy Orton, Dolph Ziggler one-on-one, I thought that they were going to have Orton win. But this could really be a win that catapults Ziggler, if WWE chooses to use it as such. If he does cash in the Money in the Bank at TLC like you suggested, or any time really in the near future, I think they could definitely use this Survivor Series as that kind of launching pad for him into the main events. I know we've kind of been begging for Ziggler to really get some credible and some big wins, since every time you turn around on TV, he's eating a bro kick, or he's taking an RKO, or he's taking a loss, he's getting pinned. And, you know, with a guy holding the briefcase, you question why you're going to book him to lose so much. But if WWE really wanted to turn things around with Ziggler's booking, I think starting here, having him survive this elimination match with so many other big names, and really being the sole survivor, so you're not only besting the babyface team, but you're really standing out on that heel team. I think using that to catapult him into the main events permanently, or at least for a long-term plan, I think that would be the way to go. Have him cash in and maybe win the title, and then kind of go from there. I think that would be a great move. And, you know, use this, start getting him wins on TV, start putting him in a position where fans see him as a main event type guy. Don't, you know, have him lose one week on Raw, the next week have him cash in for the Money in the Bank. I think you want to build him up as a credible guy, so when he does win the championship, it seems right, and he seems like a credible champion. He's not just a guy who lucked into the championship, even though he's a heel, because I think you need fans to buy strong heels just like you need them to buy strong baby faces. So I'm hoping this is that kind of jumping-off point for Ziggler, where WWE starts to book him like that.
Yeah, I mean, because it's a major credibility boost, and to be able to follow up on that, and like you said, use this as a springboard to, if he does cash in, it's not a Jack Swagger situation where, you know, we talk about this so often, but he goes from superstars to he wins Money in the Bank, he becomes world champ, and then it just falls flat. He's never been the same since then. If they really, you know, follow through, I think follow through is the name of the game after this pay-per-view, the main event, the Ziggler victory. If they follow through effectively and really use this before assuming a cash-in,
at TLC. It is that, like you said, that natural progression. It doesn't feel like this guy doesn't belong type moment. It actually feels like he does belong. Chris, I'm going to go back to you real quick. Any final thoughts from being there live at the show to share with the listeners?
Not really. I guess one other thing I'd like to say I was impressed with is I thought last month Hell in a Cell, the Sheamus and Show had a really good match. I'll be honest, I came into the night, I didn't think they could do it again. The crowd was totally eating that match up, every second of it, I think, especially the second half, but really every second of that match. And the time they got in the ring, I was shocked, and I honestly hope, like was mentioned earlier, I feel like once they move the title back to Sheamus or whatever, they get off show, there's not really what else does he do. And I kind of hope they have some right now. I kind of like what they're doing with Big Show. I think it's working, and I think if they'd stick with this, I think they could really get something out of this because people really seem to enjoy it tonight.
Yeah,
Thank you for your time, man.
All right, yeah. Chris, thank you for calling in. Always good to have a live correspondent. We appreciate that. And good to hear from you on the show. Greg, I will go ahead and let you go, and we'll call tonight with you. But I want to get a quick plug in for Gonzo and the Greg, available for VIP members. If you're not a Torch VIP member, you can go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you can listen to Greg's audio show, Gonzo and the Greg, every weekend. It's just top five item. It's a real cool top five audio show. Greg, this week you guys talked about the top five ways the $100 million spent on Linda McMahon's campaign would have been better spent. I'm going to go back and listen to that probably tonight or tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to that. Greg, give us a quick preview for what's some of the highlights of your audio show this weekend.
This is a top five list suggested by a reader. The 92 to $100 million spent on Linda's campaign. What do we think that could be better spent on in WWE? Of course, acknowledging that not all of the money that Linda spent on our campaign would have gone toward WWE, but it was, just a unique thing to kind of look at where we would push the funds in WWE. And I will say that my number one is a little controversial. The guys kind of called me out on my number one, but it's definitely worth a listen. We had a lot of fun recording it earlier today, and we got our Survivor Series predictions on there, so you can listen to it and laugh at how wrong we were on those.
All right. Very good. Well, Greg, always good to talk to you. And let's see, this Thursday is Thanksgiving. We won't have a regular show, but hopefully in a couple of weeks we'll have you back on the show. So, Greg, thanks for calling in and talking Survivor Series.
Okay, thank you, James.
All right, that is Torch columnist Greg Parks, our usual Thursday co-host here on the livecast. Always good to talk to Greg on the post-game show after WWE or some major TNA pay-per-view. So we'll kind of reset the show. It's, of course, the PW Torch livecast, and this is Torch assistant editor James Caldwell. I'll be hosting the show for the remainder of our time here. As long as we have callers on the show talking Survivor Series, we'll take as many calls as possible. And I want to note that on pwtorch.com right now, we have my report on Survivor Series, star ratings, analysis, and a full rundown of the show. I also have Torch columnist Pat McNeil's blog. He always blogs on the major WWE pay-per-views. He has his blog on Survivor Series at pwtorch.com. And then VIP members have access to PW Torch editor Wade Keller's pay-per-view reports. We have three pay-per-view reports. Two on the free side, pwtorch.com, and then VIP members have access to Wade Keller's report, his VIP report with analysis, his star ratings. This will be included in the Torch newsletter next week as well. Next week's Torch newsletter will have his report, as well as our staff roundtable reviews that we do after every pay-per-view. We review the show, 0-10 score. This is after every WWE and TNA pay-per-view, and that's available in the Torch newsletter. If you're not a VIP member, pwtorch.com/govip is the place to go. Find out how to subscribe and become a Torch VIP member. Get access to Greg's audio show, Bruce Mitchell audio show. And Bruce and Wade Keller talked for three separate audio shows this weekend. And Sean Radican had an audio update, East Coast Cast, that you can hear on blogtalkradio.com. We have their VIP show on Wednesdays. Tons of VIP audio content, VIP newsletter. Just so many reasons to go VIP, plus access to the free on the free PW Torch app. We have a free PW Torch app in iTunes. You can access the VIP content on the free app as a new feature in our version 3.0 app that we released last month. So There are numerous reasons to go VIP. Those are just some of them right there. PWTorch.com/goVIP. Find out how to subscribe and join the PW Torch VIP community right now. Let's go ahead and go on to our next phone call. 252 area code. 252, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Terrence from Greenville, North Carolina.
Hey, Terrence, what's in your mind tonight?
I'm kind of a little frustrated with WWE because I'm a big
sure.
WWE fan. I just don't understand where the direction they're going. I know they're trying to make movies and do all the things they're doing, but what they're doing, they're hurting the main product because they're chasing WWE hardcore fans to TNA, and that's why I think TNA ratings continue to go up because the backlash was going on in WWE because they had too many programming. I think they should just concentrate on the A program, which is Raw, and the B program, which is SmackDown. Get rid of the other stuff they're doing. They got too many television programming going on today, and it's hurting the product. Too much of one thing can hurt. It's hurting, and that's why. I'm saying, I don't know this thing that happened tonight. Is this a new type of Nexus angle? I don't know, but seen it and done it. I want something different, and I think I'm liking what I've seen tonight at the ending, but I don't know, this WWE, how far would this go?
Yeah, Terrence, that was my first thought when the announcers identified Rollins and Ambrose and Roman Reigns as NXT developmental guys, was they're going to try to restart sort of the NXT invasion angle and try to redo that, and maybe this is a way to appeal to the hardcore fans, like you said, because I think that there is this sense of the most hardcore WWE fan. There's going to be the hardcore fans that are loyal to the company, loyal to the product, no matter what. But then there's the hardcore wrestling fans that watch WWE because that's the top wrestling show, top product. But they're willing to try something else, like you said, TNA. If TNA is going to be on a hot streak, which they're in the middle right now. I think the hardcore fans are slowly feeling more and more frustrated, like you said, Terrence, by the product. 3-hour Raw, this whole AJ and Cena and Vicky thing that, as Greg said earlier in the live cast, got a full segment on the pay-per-view. And I haven't heard of anybody who's excited about this. There's maybe the payoff will be interesting, or maybe the payoff will make this all worth it. But right now, the journey, I don't think anyone wants to be on the journey. The journey is just not intriguing. It's not interesting. I mean, photoshopping, Jim Ross or Ricardo Rodriguez eating a burrito with Vicky. I mean, is that where they've arrived at? This is what's compelling television on pay-per-view? It's just ridiculous. So I think that those little things, plus the 3-hour Raw just being too long, I think it's turning away viewers and making WWE more susceptible to TNA. TNA is never going to overcome them. They just don't have the history. They don't have the financial backing. They don't have the the history. WWE has the history, and TNA doesn't, but every little bit that TNA can get from WWE impacts WWE's business. Every form of entertainment that WWE would say impacts your business. So those are things that WWE has to pay attention to, and so maybe the NXT debuts is a way to kind of throw a bone to some of the hardcore fans who have kind of been calling for some new blood, calling for some NXT guys to be called up, and now that three guys have been called up, two of them are quote unquote internet favorites, rightfully so by people who actually watch the product, watch wrestling, care about it, care about the in-ring work, care about strong characters, Tyler Black, Seth Rollins, strong character, strong wrestler, Dean Ambrose, just a great heel. I mean, the guy's a great heel. So these are two guys that are high on people's list for good reason. And so, maybe this was WWE kind of throwing a bone to some of the hardcore wrestling fans to say, hey, stick with us. Stay with us. We got something going on here. Now it's all about the follow-through. If the follow-through is not good, then, it's not going to make a difference with the hardcore fans. it's just not. It's good because then it's going to be back to, oh, you know, Cena's going to squash them, or Ryback's going to squash them, and then you know, you look at a guy like Wade Barrett. Wade Barrett's still struggling. 2 years later, he's still struggling to be taken seriously again as a top heel. Justin Gabriel is now just an interchangeable tag team. Darren Young, he's with the Primetime Players. They're kind of doing their thing. They're okay. But we know Titus O'Neil. Who else was in that group? Obviously, you've got, Skip Sheffield, Ryback. But Skip Sheffield didn't break out until he became a different character. He became Ryback. And people have, do not remember him as being part of Nexus. It was 2 years ago, and Sheffield was injured at the very early stages of that run. So he was off TV for a year and a half, and people just did not remember him in that Nexus group. But all these other guys have been kind of fighting from underneath that. So WWE can't go through with this thing and say, okay, we'll give Tyler Black and Roman Reigns and Dan Ambrose, some heat. They'll have a couple good months and really do some damage. And then they're just demolished like Nexus was. And then, because then you see what's going on with Wade Barrett and Justin Gabriel and Darren Young and guys like that, and then some of the other guys, the one guy who's even out of the company now, drawing a complete blank on. It's that thing where they've got to have a follow through that actually keeps guys legitimate. Not just for a couple months, but for, years to come. If they're going to do this angle again, then they've got to have a better result after that. I mean, Daniel Bryan was part of this. Daniel Bryan, obviously, he got fired because the initial angle, he came back as a babyface. So that's a different story. But, that's kind of the comparison and some of the pitfalls that WWE has to avoid and kind of learn from what happened last time. And we'll kind of see what happens with that. Terrence, thanks for your call. Good to hear from you, and thanks for calling in. Let's go to our next phone call. This is from the 630 area code. Welcome to the show, 630. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
How you doing? This is Craig from Chicago.
Hey, Craig, what's in your mind tonight?
Been watching wrestling for over 30 years now, pretty religiously,
yeah.
Okay? I've seen it all, coming through. And with this show tonight, Let's just get right. I'm not going to pull any punches. It sucked. It was not that good.
Sure.
Any show where you got a Goldberg clone and John Cena in the main event is just, to me, it insults my intelligence as a wrestling fan out of everything I've seen through the years. Now, I know there's a bunch of people who don't even out there that have no clue who Bill Goldberg was.
Which is unfortunate. But it's very telling.
But even I thought Bill Goldberg sucked, but at least he had something behind him,
Sure.
This guy doesn't have a damn thing behind him. It's just like John Cena all over again. He's like desperately trying to find his Hulk Hogan still, years and years and years later. And I don't know. I mean, to me, all the stuff he does with this company, the calling the fans at WWE Universe, that's just ridiculous. We're wrestling fans. This is a wrestling show. He needs to come to grips with it. I really believe back in the late 90s, early 2000s, he was actually treating it as a wrestling show back then. And now we're just right back to little kid stuff again. And I love watching pro wrestling, but, it insults my intelligence watching this crap now. And I still watch it. There's guys out there that can sit there and literally carry the show, and you got John Cena running around. Doesn't even look like any semblance of a pro wrestler whatsoever. Rapping and everything and just doing the same five moves over and over again. When he gets on there, he just starts talking, and it's just like drivel, It's boring crap that makes me want to change the channel. Unfortunately, the one guy out there that I do think could really, really catch fire and take wrestling by storm in this day and age, Vince McMahon doesn't have him on the contract. That guy's over at TNA. That's James Storm. But that's just, who do I know? I'm just a fan who's been watching for 30 years. My territory was the AWA, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, I totally, I hear you, and I certainly understand. I mean, just covering wrestling, looking at things objectively from my perspective, I feel the same frustration. there's that sense of, you know, when Vincent Mann feels like, I don't know what the right way to put it is, but I guess when his back is up against the wall, he goes to what he knows. And then, like you just said, Craig, it's the, where's my next Hulk Hogan? You know, that's what he knows, is because that's what worked in the 80s was Hulk Hogan in that era. And, you know, he tried to do a Lex Luger in the 90s. You know, it was, you know, it just wasn't the right time. Then he went a different type of top baby face with with Stone Cold first. And then The Rock, you know, Rock was kind of back and forth heel and face, but mainly people remember him as being just the top star. It didn't matter if he was heel or face. He was just The Rock.
You love pro wrestling podcasts, but you might not have time to listen to all of them. We'll help you decide which ones to listen to and keep you up to date on the ones you're missing at pwpodcasts.com. That website features written recaps of all of the top pro wrestling related podcasts, including Steve Austin, Bruce Prichard, Edge and Christian, and so on. Check it out. It's pwpodcasts.com, your home for written recaps of all pro wrestling personality hosted podcasts.
So then it kind of, you know, transitioned back into the John Cena business, and now they're into the big Monster Ryback business, along with still being the Cena business, because, you know, that's the direction he feels they're going. They're trying to appeal to a younger audience, trying to grab that, you know, they're not looking for your demographic. You know, Craig, even though the top demographic for wrestling on TV, historically for Raw, has been late 30s, you know, early 40s male viewer, that's in the top demographic, but they're not going for that demographic. USA Network wants to get a different demographic. They appreciate the older male demographic, but they want a younger viewership audience. They want to appeal toward a younger audience, and so they feel like, okay, we need to have these AJ Lee and Vicky Guerrero skits, and they need to put John Cena in jeopardy. What's going to happen next with John Cena? What's going to happen next with AJ Lee? Daniel Bryan and Kane have these little kiddie skits, you know, just sort of these kid-friendly skits, you know, with you know, the Hug It Out and, you know, just stuff that really appeals to the just the most common denominator they can think of, just the most basic. I mean, Daniel Bryan is yes and no. That's just the most basic item you can appeal to. And so that's the business they're in. They're not in the business of going for the hardcore fans because they feel like they already have that demographic, or they feel like that demographic is too limiting to them. They don't want to be just – they don't want to just appeal to the older male demographic by having, you know, the CM Punk show or, like you said, the James Storm. Unfortunately, I think a James Storm in WWE would be sort of a just like, you know, look at the way they treat Jim Ross. He'd be sort of a – I don't know what gimmick to compare it to, but – basically just some drunk cowboy. You know, that's probably the gimmick they would come up with for James Storm, would be just this guy who just walks around with a beer bottle in his hand, stumbles over himself, and slurs his words. Oh, he wouldn't be the B.A., you know, trash-talking, John Wayne-type babyface. He would just be some of the stumbling, bumbling, drunk, maybe a heel cowboy. That would be the gimmick they'd give him. Because they feel it appeals to the most the widest demographic they can get to, the lowest common denominator, the most common denominator they can reach with gimmicks and storylines, and so that's the problem they run into when they're appealing to them. They're trying to appeal to a mass audience, is they leave the hardcore viewer behind most of the time, or they try to throw the hardcore viewers a bone. You know, here's a CM Punk match on free television. Here's this match on free television. They try to create those situations, but, you know, I think that it's the other stuff that cancels that out. It's the AJ Lee, John Cena, Vicky Guerrero stuff that kind of cancels out the bones that are thrown to the hardcore viewers. And I think that's the problem they're running into right now. So, Craig, I mean, I hear you. I hear you on that. So that's something that WWE has to address if they want to retain their pay-per-view buying hardcore customers. They've got to address that. And I don't think they're doing an ample job of doing that right now. So, yeah, Craig, I hear you. And good call. Good to hear from you.
Thank you for calling in. Let's go ahead and go to our next phone call. 267. Welcome to the show, 267. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, what's going on? It's Amir from Philly.
Hey, Amir, what's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, since Survivor Series is over now, when do you think they're going to introduce The Rock into a feud with CM Punk? Do you think it's too soon and they should wait for TLC after TLC? And my other question is, if The Rock does win in Royal Rumble the championship, and they didn't mention how many, you know, how busy he's going to be with his movie schedule, do you think The Rock should acknowledge his movie career and we should see the heel Hollywood Rock so he could explain his absence, because he's obviously not going to make all those Raws into to WrestleMania?
That's a really good question, because in my mind, to go back to 2 years ago when he was the guest host of WrestleMania, he was doing movies, he was promoting movies at the time as well, and they didn't really stress the schedule. They didn't really stress that he was not around. They kind of just had him do, you know, live via satellite, The Rock's on Raw. Live via satellite, The Rock's going to insult a John Cena, you know, 12-year-old. You know, they did a lot of videos to kind of make it seem like he was part of WrestleMania build-up, but, you know, not really acknowledge why he wasn't there in the flesh. And it might be a little bit different this time around because, you know, he's actually wrestling. We presume he will actually be wrestling. 2 years ago, he was a guest host. Last year, he was a lot more involved because he kind of cleared out the schedule. His schedule was much, much lighter going into WrestleMania last year, or, you know, calendar year this year. But this coming year, I mean, he's got a packed schedule. So they might have to lean a little bit more toward WrestleMania 27 when he did a lot of live via satellite stuff. But if he's going to wrestle, they can't really have him do live via satellite every single week. So they're going to have to find a happy medium on that and try to create some sort of explanation for why certain weeks he's not there. Try to get him on the show somehow in the flesh, you know, more times than not. You know, if it's 6 weeks out of 10, you know, that might be a reasonable percentage. I don't think they want to go 4 out of 10. You know, I don't think they want to go below 500 on the number of weeks out of the buildup that he's on TV in the flesh. So I think if they can go 6 out of 10, 7 out of 10, I think that's a pretty good number. And then you don't risk overexposure. That's the other thing. They don't want to risk overexposure with The Rock. This is his third time around as a part-time guy in a main event situation or a headline situation. So they don't want to overexpose him in the same process. So it's a very fine line. When you involve Rock, I would say if you don't have Punk in a title match at TLC next month, then you start incorporating The Rock into the buildup, because then you know for sure that you've got Punk versus The Rock at the Rumble. And so this way, if you don't do Punk in a title match at TLC, you can go into a two-month buildup process and then have Rock maybe appear at the end of the year, maybe have Rock appear in the first Raw of the year. Of course, that'd be after TLC, but have Rock do something more than just tweet or tout, because then you will know that it's Punk versus Rock at the Rumble. So I think it all depends on whether Punk defends the title at TLC next month, and that might be the determinant on when they start involving The Rock in that Rumble buildup. So, Amir, thanks for your call. Two great questions to cap us off on the live portion. 865, I see you on hold. I'll get to you in bonus time. I want to thank everyone for calling in the live cast and listening to the show. Be sure to tune in again on Monday. Bruce Mitchell, Travis Bryant at 7 Eastern before the start of Raw. And we'll talk to everyone again then. And be sure to check out pwtorch.com/govip for the VIP roundtable and Wade Keller's VIP report. And we'll see everybody on the other side of the music. We'll be right back. let's go to our bonus phone calls. 305, I see you jumped on there too, so I'll get to you as well here in bonus time. First, let's go to the 865 area code. Welcome to the show, 865. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, what's going on? It's Stephen from Tennessee. How are you doing?
Doing good, Stephen. What's in your mind tonight?
Nothing much. Sorry, I jumped on late, so if you've already kind of discussed my question, I apologize to you.
No worries.
Obviously the NXT guys with Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose and Roman's the other guy's name, I can't remember his last name, kind of jumping in and attacking Ryback. The first question kind of A is how do you think we're going to tie them in? Are we going to see them kind of show up on Raw? They're just going to be, you know, rogue NXT guys. And along with those lines, obviously they didn't celebrate with Punk, so it's going to kind of help the storyline as far as Punk, as it did last month with Brad Maddox saying, you know, I had nothing to do with this officially. He was a rogue guy. So Punk will probably do the same thing with NXT guys as well. So you think that probably maybe around NXT, TLC, or maybe even right before Rumble, before he faces Rock, we're going to end up finding out that he did have orchestration with these guys, and maybe that creates a stable, or just maybe like a Heenan family, maybe a Heyman family with all these guys kind of coming in and out.
I feel like it's going to lead to a stable. I think that tomorrow night, CM Punk's going to come out there. Maybe even Heyman might do the talking. Who knows? But one of them will come out and say, oh, you know, we had nothing to do with that NXT run-in. These were rogue NXT wrestlers. And then, you know, Cena, speaking on behalf of Ryback, will start to put two and two together and say, okay, fool me once, you know, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. Or I might have the other way around. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. You know, they might start putting this thing together and say, okay, I think there might be something going on here. So, and then it kind of comes out, Cena does an investigation, somebody else does an investigation. They all figure out that Maddox, I just said it like Punk, because Punk said it like that, and now it's in my head. Maddox, Tyler Black, Ambrose, Roman Reigns are all linked together to CM Punk and Paul Heyman. They're all Paul Heyman guys. And this might create a sort of a new nexus with Punk as the leader, and that might give this group some strength so that it doesn't just sort of fall by the wayside like Nexus did, or the core, to even go back to the core. You know, so, yeah, I do think that this will lead to some sort of stable. Maybe not initially. I think that Punk's going to still come out here and deny it, and deny that he had anything to do with this. These are rogue NXT guys, and then it'll kind of fall out from that. Will be the revelation is that Punk and Heyman orchestrated this all together to keep the title on Punk, and then it kind of comes out from there. So that's where I feel like they're going with it. You know, they could keep it all separate, but I think that the possibility of CM Punk and Tyler Black in a tag match, I mean, that's just salivating for a lot of people. So I could very well see them go this direction where they go to a stable. And kind of go in that direction. Steven, did I answer your question? I kind of went off in a different direction, but did I answer your question on that?
That actually really did answer my question. I appreciate that. And I just kind of also, if we got time, I got one more quick comment, maybe tying with a question with it.
Sure.
I kind of like, WWE just kind of didn't make the connection, but a couple weeks ago on NXT, you had a CM Punk kind of make an appearance, and he had mentioned specifically that he was there to watch Seth Rollins. Now, I don't want to give the writers and others like that credit that it's not that far ahead, but I think it might be kind of an interesting tie-in they had that specifically, especially because Punk also, those of us that had the Blu-ray for the CM Punk DVD, he mentions training Tyler Black specifically when he was running the Ring of Honor training facility. So I think that would be a good tie-in, especially specifically with Rollins to Punk. And then along those lines again, do you see them doing as he did with Brad Maddox and jobbing these three guys out to Ryback in the next couple of Mondays, maybe even as far as tomorrow night, and that's kind of ruining them as far as bringing them up? Or do you see finally they're doing what fans have just, like, as you say, kind of been salivating for, especially for Seth Rollins, and
right,
bringing these guys up and actually kind of push them, maybe not right out of the gate, but at least make them relevant?
Yeah, that's kind of what we talked about earlier, was we hope that for the sake of these three guys and their futures, it's not a Maddox thing where they get squashed by Ryback so he can get his revenge, and then the guys are just sort of, you know, labeled as,
you know, at the same level as Brad Maddox. I think that would be a very damaging result for both Tyler Black and Dean Ambrose. So I certainly don't expect them to go the same direction, but and that's kind of what you know, the catch-22 that we came across when we were discussing this at the top of the show, which is that Ryback still has to get his revenge because he's now not won the WWE title in two straight matches. Very delicate, you know, new star in the main event scene. You know, he's got to be able to do something to kind of recuperate. And but then you don't want to have him get squash, you know, Ambrose and Tyler Black. So they're kind of in a situation where they have to find a medium there or find something that will benefit Ryback but not hurt Tyler Black and Dean Ambrose. So that's that fine line they're going to have to walk this starting this Monday in Raw. So I certainly don't think they'll have him squash those two or three guys. But it'll be very interesting to see what they end up doing coming out of this. So I'm kind of curious to see what happens there. So, Stephen, thank you for your phone call. Good call. 305, I was just going to go to you, so it looks like you dropped off. But I'll give 305 a couple seconds if you want to call in and let me know if you want to jump on and talk or have a question for us. So 305, if you're still in the air, I will give you 5-10 seconds. And then I'll let you come back on if you want to have a shot to call in and contribute your thoughts. But we want to remind everyone to go VIP. PWTorch.com/goVIP is a place to go. Become a VIP member, get access to just tons of VIP content. I listed a little bit earlier in the show, but in addition to what I've talked about, I mentioned the roundtable. Torch editor Wade Keller hosts a roundtable review, usually with Pat McNeil and Bruce Mitchell, who you hear in the live cast. Are PW Torch senior columnists, and they host a roundtable after every WWE and TNA pay-per-view, breaking down the pay-per-view like we do here in the live cast, but also giving their expert opinion on the show and historical perspective on the show. So that is included right now. You can go listen to the VIP audio roundtable. Actually, I'll check if it's online yet. It looks like it's not online yet, but it should be up soon. I'm sure that Wade, Bruce, and Pat are having a long discussion about this pay-per-view. So Wade will have the roundtable online for VIP members a little bit later on tonight. And by the time you're listening to this, you'll be able to listen to it on Monday. You can listen to it on Monday with whatever you're doing on Monday morning. You can be able to listen to the roundtable after the live, just a nice supplement or compliment to the live cast, or live cast being a compliment to the roundtable. So that's with your VIP sub. PWTorch.com/goVIP is the place to go. Become a VIP member. I'll go and sign off with a note that live cast, like I said, Monday, Bruce and Travis will be on the show tomorrow at 7 Eastern, and then tune in again Tuesday through Friday, 5:30 Eastern, a one-hour show here on blogtalkradio.com. You can also listen to the show on iTunes in the podcast after the show is over, or on the free PW Torch live cast app. Just type in PW Torch on your mobile device, in your app store, your mobile store, whatever store you have, PW Torch app. Or the PW Torch, like I said, the PW Torch Livecast app, or the PW Torch app. Free PW Torch app. Just type in Pro Wrestling. And we're the number one app in your whatever mobile store you have. We are number one if you type in Pro Wrestling. So that is all that I have on the Livecast today. And that is all the calls that I see in the switchboard. So we will go ahead and sign off here. For Torch columnist Greg Parks, a little bit earlier in the show, I want to thank him for joining on the Livecast. I want to thank you listening to the show or calling in the show. We appreciate your support of the show, and I'll go and sign off here. Assistant Editor James Caldwell is signing off for the Livecast.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I invite you to get even more of what the Torch offers by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Not only do you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and access to about 30 years of our archives, including over 1,500 back issues and thousands upon thousands of hours of our audio shows going back to 2004, plus tons of retro radio shows from the 1990s. But you also get over 15 VIP exclusive podcasts per week, in addition to ad-free editions of these PW Torch livecasts throughout the week. So we take the ads out of the PW Torch livecast for VIP members and then give you over 15 other podcasts per week, including what started it all, the Bruce Mitchell audio show. I host that with Bruce every weekend, and we spend a couple hours talking about the biggest stories of professional wrestling and wrestling history. It's one of the longest-running weekly pro wrestling podcasts on any subject. And it's one of the main reasons people go VIP and stay VIP. Another is The Fix with Todd Martin. I host that every midweek with Todd, and we get Todd's expertise and opinions every midweek on current events in professional wrestling, not just WWE, but all promotions worldwide, including New Japan. Plus, we end every show with some expert MMA talk from the LA Times columnist and SureDog contributor, Todd Martin. And there's so much more. The Every Single Day Weight Cover Hotline with news updates every single day, Monday through Friday. And every Saturday and Sunday, I do the Ask the Editor format of the Weight Cover Hotline, where I answer VIP member questions in depth. And there's so much more. There's the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, Wrestling Audio Community with Sean Radican, the WWE Future Past Show with scouting reports on prospects, and a look back at the indie career of current stars, the PW Torch East Coast Cast Extended VIP Edition, the retro radio shows. Every Thursday, a new retro radio show from the 90s drops, from the early 90s or the Attitude Era. And last but not least, my in-depth Raw and SmackDown reports. You can get a full chronological rundown of every episode of Raw and SmackDown with my analysis of the show in-depth every Monday night and Tuesday night. So check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. We give you a lot here at the live cast, but there is so much more. The vast majority of our work is for our VIP members, and you can become one today. Go check out details on a subscription at pwtorch.com/govip.